Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Ever get that feeling like there are all these forces at play shaping our lives in ways we just can't grasp?
Oh, yeah.
Well, get this. That's exactly what we're diving into today with the book The Swerve, How the World Became Modern by Steven Greenblatt.
Interesting title.
Right. It's like historical nonfiction meets a detective story and then throws in some philosophy to make you rethink everything. Seriously.
Sounds intense.
Oh, it is. But in a good way. Link to the book is in the description, by the way. And hey, if you're digging this deep dive, don't forget to hit that like button and subscribe for more. All right, so this book tells this wild story about how a single poem, like lost for centuries, pops back up and basically helps kickstart the Renaissance.
Yeah.
Crazy, right?
Yeah, The Swerve really drives home the point that ideas, no matter how old, can have this crazy power to shape history, sometimes in ways you'd never expect.
Okay, so let's paint a picture here. It's the 15th century, and we've got this book hunter, Poggio Bracciolini, who's on this mission to find lost classical texts. What was the world even like back then?
Okay, so imagine a world where knowledge was literally locked away, right? Like tucked away in monasteries, often neglected, or just straight up forgotten. And Poggio, now he's working in this crazy place called the Papal Curia, a total hub of power and intrigue. But his real passion, these old texts. So
he was like a Renaissance Indiana Jones?
Totally. Traveling to these remote monasteries, deciphering these crumbling manuscripts. Talk about challenges. But he was determined to bring these lost works back into the light.
It really blows my mind to think about how much of our history could have just vanished if not for people like Poggio. But what was the obsession with these ancient texts all about? Like, what made them so special?
Well, you've got to remember, the Renaissance was all about rediscovering classical knowledge and culture. Thinkers like Poggio, they believed that the ancient Greeks and Romans, they held the key to a better future, a more enlightened future. These texts, to them, were like a breath of fresh air, a way to break free from the, limitations of medieval thought, like a fresh perspective.
So Poggio's on this epic quest, and he stumbles upon this really significant find, right?
Oh yeah, he hits the jackpot. Deep in a German monastery, buried among who knows how many scrolls, Poggio finds this poem by this Roman philosopher Lucretius. The poem's called, get this, On the Nature of Things.
On the Nature of Things.
Yep. And the crazy thing is, this poem had been lost for centuries. Finding it, that was huge. It would go on to have this, like, seismic impact on Western thought.
Okay, I'm hooked. Why was this particular poem so groundbreaking? What made it so different from what everyone believed back then?
To get Lucretius, you got to get the world he was writing in. Ancient Rome, right? Obsessed with military power, conquest, totally hierarchical, tradition and religious beliefs, those were deeply ingrained in the social fabric.
Not exactly a breeding ground for radical ideas then.
You got it. But even in that kind of environment, there were these little pockets of, like, intellectual rebellion, thinkers pushing the boundaries. And Lucretius, he was one of them. He was an Epicurean. And that philosophy, oh man, it clashed hard with what Roman society believed in. And later on, the church, too.
Okay, now I'm really intrigued. What exactly did Lucretius say in this On the Nature of Things that was so revolutionary?
He basically laid out a completely materialist view of the universe. He said, everything, even our souls, are made up of these tiny indivisible particles.
Yes.
Atoms.
Interesting.
No divine creator, no afterlife, no immortal soul. According to Lucretius, everything comes from these atoms randomly colliding and combining over, like, eons.
Whoa, that's a bold statement. Especially for back then, I'm guessing that didn't go over so well with everyone.
You think? Think about it. This is a world where the church had massive power. People believed in divine order, heaven and hell, the whole nine yards. And then Lucretius comes along saying, nope, the universe runs on natural laws, not some god or religious authority.
Yeah, not exactly a message designed to win friends and influence people, especially with the church.
Not a chance. But here's where things get really wild. Even though his ideas were super controversial, Lucretius's poem, it spoke to certain thinkers throughout history, like a seed waiting for the right moment to sprout. And that moment, it came with the Renaissance.
I'm starting to see why they call it The Swerve. It's like this rediscovery of Lucretius's poem and throws Western thought off course.
Right.
Like a sudden shift in direction.
Boom, you got it. And that swerve, man, it had this ripple effect across art, science, philosophy, influencing some of the greatest minds of the Renaissance and even beyond.
This is where I think a lot of historical nonfiction just misses the mark. It gets lost in dates and names, you know. It forgets about the human stories behind all these huge events. But The Swerve does it right. It brings those stories to life, shows how people like Poggio and Lucretius separated by, what, centuries, can have this massive impact on the world. But before we dive into all the ripples from this rediscovery, let's take a closer look at Poggio himself. What was it like for him working in the heart of the papal curia? Was it all scholarly pursuits and lofty ideals?
Let's just say the papal curia was, well, it was its own world. Power struggles, ambition, intrigue, all that stuff going on. Not exactly the quiet life of a monastery library.
So Poggio wasn't just some bookworm, huh? He was navigating this whole world of power and politics while searching for these lost treasures of knowledge. Sounds like quite a life.
Oh, it was. And Poggio, he wasn't afraid to spill the tea. He called out the hypocrisy and corruption he saw, even made fun of it. He had this sharp wit, always noticing the funny side of things. Wrote it all down, too. Jokes, anecdotes, called it facetiae.
Hold up, jokes. From a papal secretary. Now, that's not what I was expecting. So he was this complex guy, balancing his love for these old texts with the reality of working in a system that, well, sometimes clashed with those ideals.
Exactly. That's what makes Poggio so interesting. He wasn't just a scholar. He was a man of his time, dealing with all the moral gray areas of the Renaissance.
I see what you mean about the swerve not being just another history lesson. It's like it shows the human side of this whole intellectual revolution. Reminds us that history is made by people. People with passions, contradictions, and a lasting impact on the world. But before we get too caught up in Poggio's adventures, let's go back to Lucretius and his radical philosophy. What were some of the key ideas on the nature of things that really shook things up?
You know, one of the most revolutionary things Lucretius did was explain how life began. And get this, he didn't say some divine being created everything. He actually proposed something that sounds a lot like Darwin's theory of evolution centuries before Darwin came along.
So he's saying life didn't come from some grand design, but from random chance and natural selection.
Spot on. Lucretius argued that over these vast stretches of time, atoms just kept bumping into each other, combining in endless ways. Eventually, bam, you get these complex life forms like us. He even said some of these early life forms weren't cut out for their environment and just died off. Sounds a lot like survival of the fittest, right?
That's incredible. It's like he was looking into the future, seeing scientific principles that wouldn't be figured out for hundreds of years. What other radical ideas did he have?
Another big one was this idea that pleasure is the ultimate good. Now, hold on. He's not talking about just living a life of pure hedonism. What Lucretius meant was that true pleasure, it comes from living without fear and anxiety, especially the fear of death and the fear of the gods.
So, like, inner peace and tranquility. A life guided by reason and a deep understanding of the natural world.
Exactly. He saw fear, especially fear of the unknown, as this huge source of human suffering. And he believed that if we truly understand the universe, that it's governed by natural laws, not some supernatural force, then we can break free from those fears and live better, more fulfilling lives. He even went as far as to say that religion itself is rooted in fear, a way to control people through threats and promises of the afterlife.
Whoa, that's a bold statement. Even today. Can't imagine how controversial that must have been back then, in a world dominated by religion.
You can say that again, but the crazy thing is, despite all the pushback and opposition, Lucretius's ideas, they survived. Tucked away in those monastery libraries, just waiting to be rediscovered, and when they were, well, they sparked a whole new way of thinking. It's amazing how these, like, radical ideas from ancient Rome, you know, they can make such a splash centuries later during the Renaissance.
I know, right? It's like Lucretius planted the seed and it just sat there waiting for the right moment to, like, burst into bloom. So how did his ideas actually influence those Renaissance thinkers?
Well, one big thing was that whole emphasis on observing the natural world, you know, seeking explanations based on reason, not religious dogma. It really clicked with that burgeoning scientific spirit of the Renaissance.
So instead of just blindly accepting what they were told, people started to question things, experiment, try to understand the world based on evidence.
Yeah, exactly. You think of guys like Leonardo da Vinci. He was the embodiment of that, right? That spirit of inquiry and observation. Da Vinci wasn't just an artist. He was an anatomist, an engineer, an inventor. A true Renaissance man, right? And those detailed studies he did, the anatomy, the natural world, it all goes back to Lucretius's idea of understanding the universe through observation and reason.
So it's like Lucretius laid the foundation for a totally new way of thinking, moving away from blind faith and towards his more empirical approach.
Precisely. And that shift, it had huge implications, not just for science, but for art and philosophy too. Like, think about humanism, putting humans at the center of intellectual and artistic inquiry. That focus on human potential and the beauty of the natural world, it fits perfectly with Lucretius's celebration of life and the pursuit of pleasure.
So even though people initially resisted Lucretius's ideas, they eventually found their place during the Renaissance, influencing everything from scientific discoveries to those amazing works of art.
Absolutely. And it didn't stop there. Guys like Machiavelli, his whole political philosophy, you know, that pragmatic understanding of human nature, he got that from Lucretius, from his observations about how people behave and how they pursue power.
It's crazy to think a poem written, what, over 2,000 years ago could still be shaping Western thought today. It really shows the power of ideas to, like, transcend time. But let's go back to this whole swerve idea. You said earlier that when Lucretius's work was rediscovered, it kind of threw Western thought off course. Can you explain that a bit more? Like, how did this swerve actually play out?
One of the biggest things was that it slowly started to chip away at the church's authority. You know, they weren't the only source of truth anymore. As more and more thinkers started using reason and evidence to understand the world, they began to question those church teachings that couldn't be backed up.
So it was more than just specific discoveries or new art. It was a fundamental change in how people approached knowledge and authority.
Exactly. It went from a worldview based on faith and dogma to one based on observation, reason, and the pursuit of knowledge just for the sake of knowing. It didn't happen overnight, of course. It was a slow process with lots of bumps along the way.
Like, what about that whole Galileo thing? The church wasn't too happy with him, right?
Yeah, Galileo's a perfect example. He said the Earth revolves around the sun, which he could prove through his observations, but it completely contradicted what the church was saying. It's the swerve in action, this clash between scientific inquiry and religious authority.
Like, that swerve set off this chain reaction that eventually led to the Enlightenment and, well, the world we live in today.
That's a great way to put it. It's like Lucretius's rediscovery opened this Pandora's box of ideas. It challenged everything people thought they knew and paved the way for this whole new era of intellectual and scientific exploration.
It really is mind-blowing how much impact one poem could have. But what about, like, the downsides of this rediscovery? You said earlier that not everyone was thrilled about Lucretius's ideas.
True. While some people saw Lucretius's ideas as, like, this liberating force, others saw them as a threat, especially the church. They saw his rejection of divine authority and the afterlife as, like, straight up heresy.
And that caused some serious problems, right?
Yeah, it did. There was this Dominican friar, Giordano Bruno, who was really into Lucretius's ideas about an infinite universe and the possibility of other worlds. He took it pretty far, openly challenged the church's teachings, and, well, ended up getting arrested and executed for heresy.
That's rough. It shows that searching for knowledge and thinking differently can come at a high price.
Yeah, Bruno's story is like a reminder that standing up for what you believe in takes guts, especially when you're going up against something as powerful as the church.
But even with all that opposition, Lucretius's ideas still managed to spread and influence Western thought, right?
They did. Thinkers like Michel de Montaigne, you know, the essayist, he found a lot of comfort and inspiration in Lucretius's philosophy, even worked some of his ideas into his own reflections on, you know, what it means to be human. Montaigne's essays, they're all about skepticism, moderation, accepting that life is uncertain. That reflects Lucretius's worldview pretty clearly.
It seems like Lucretius's ideas, they just resonated with people who were looking for a different way to see the world. One that embraces reason, questions authority, and celebrates the beauty and complexity of life. But before we get too philosophical, let's talk about the book itself. What makes The Swerve so engaging to read?
Well, Greenblatt does this amazing job of weaving together all these different threads. History, philosophy, biography. And it all comes together in this really captivating narrative. He doesn't just, like, throw Lucretius's ideas out there. He shows how they came about, the historical context, how they were rediscovered and reinterpreted over time, and how they still matter today.
So it's not just some boring philosophical text. It's a story about people, ideas, and the human spirit's drive to seek knowledge and meaning.
Exactly. And Greenblatt's writing, it's really engaging and easy to understand. Even when he's talking about complex philosophical stuff, he brings history to life. It's like you're right there with Poggio when he finds Lucretius's poem, or with Galileo when he's going head to head with the church.
It sounds like The Swerve is a book anyone can enjoy. History buffs, philosophy nerds, or just anyone curious about the forces that have shaped our world.
Totally. It's a book that can really get you thinking, make you question what you believe, and leave you with this deeper appreciation for how ideas connect and how one little swerve can change the course of history.
You've definitely given us a lot to think about. But before we wrap up this deep dive, I want to touch on one last thing that really struck me about the book. It's that power of books and ideas to transcend time and connect us with the past. What are your thoughts on that?
Books are pretty amazing, right? They let us get inside the minds of people who lived centuries ago. We can access their thoughts, their feelings, their struggles, their triumphs.
It's like time travel, a way to connect with the intellectual and cultural heritage that made us who we are.
You got it. The swerve reminds us how important it is to preserve that heritage and engage with it, not just because it's interesting history, but because it can inspire us, guide us, and give us wisdom to deal with the challenges we face today.
It's a good reminder that books and ideas have this lasting power to shape how we understand the world and ourselves. But hey, before we get too carried away, let's start wrapping things up. Before we go, we want to hear from you. What really stood out to you in our discussion of the swerve?
What about Lucretius's philosophy? Did that resonate with you? Or maybe Poggio's adventures?
What kind of swerves have you experienced in your own life? Let us know in the comments below.
And hey, don't forget to like and subscribe for more deep dives into the world of books and ideas. Welcome back. Just before the break, you were talking about the power of books and ideas to connect us with the past.
Yeah, it's pretty mind-blowing how a book like The Swerve can transport you to a different time and place. You get a glimpse into the minds of people from centuries ago. But what's even cooler is how those ideas, once they're rediscovered, can still impact us today.
It's like it shows how human curiosity never really goes away. We're always searching for meaning, trying to make sense of the world. And the things that fascinated thinkers back in the Renaissance, like those ideas from Lucretius, they still speak to us today.
That's so true. You mentioned earlier how Lucretius's take on living a life free from fear and anxiety is like super relevant now with all the craziness and uncertainty in the world.
Yeah, it's almost like he saw it coming, you know? All the anxieties we face today. His insights on fear, especially fear of death and the unknown, they give us this framework for understanding and dealing with that stuff, even when things are tough.
It's like he left us this guide to like mental and emotional well-being, encouraging us to find that inner peace through reason, understanding, and acceptance. But the swerve also talks about the not so great reactions to this rediscovery, how Lucretius's ideas were actually met with resistance, even persecution.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Remember, we talked about how the church held so much power back then, and they saw Lucretius's ideas as a huge threat, rejecting divine intervention, the afterlife, sin, all that. It basically undermined their whole belief system.
And that clash between Lucretius's ideas and what the church believed, well, it led to some pretty serious conflicts, like what happened with Giordano Bruno.
Yeah, Bruno's story is a tough one. It really shows the risks that come with challenging the status quo, especially when you're up against a powerful institution that feels threatened. He went all in on Lucretius's ideas, talking about an infinite universe and all these other worlds, openly questioning the church, and it cost him his life.
It's a sobering reminder that fighting for knowledge, for the right to think differently, can come with a huge price. And some people, they're willing to pay that price, even if it means persecution.
It really shows you the courage of those who stood up for what they believed in. They challenged the accepted norms and pushed the boundaries of knowledge, even when it was dangerous. And what they did, it opened the door for more intellectual freedom, for knowledge to advance.
So even though there was a lot of opposition, the swerve shows how Lucretius's ideas continue to spread and influence thinkers from all these different fields.
Right. His ideas about the universe, the origins of life, even happiness, they took root in the minds of artists, writers, scientists, philosophers. It had a huge impact on how Western thought developed. Take Montaigne, for example. He took some of Lucretius's ideas and wove them into his own writing, exploring themes of skepticism, moderation, and accepting the uncertainties of life.
It's amazing how these ancient ideas, lost for so long and then rediscovered, can still speak to us across centuries. They make us think differently and challenge our own views about the world and our place in it.
It speaks volumes about human curiosity, you know, our need to learn and that constant search for meaning and purpose. Finding Lucretius's poem wasn't just some random historical event. It was this spark that ignited a shift in how we see things, a swerve that continues to shape how we understand the universe and ourselves.
The swerve has been one heck of a journey. It's shown us the power of ideas, how important intellectual freedom is, and the lasting legacy of those who dare to question things. So as we wrap up our deep dive, what are some of the big takeaways for our listeners?
I think the most important thing is that history isn't just a bunch of dates and events. It's the stories of people, their ideas, their struggles, their triumphs. It's all woven together. The swerve shows how something that seems small, like finding a lost poem, can have these huge and lasting effects. It can change the way we think and how our culture develops.
It reminds us that we're all part of this big story that's still being written.
Mm-hmm.
And even our small actions can contribute to those swerves that shape the world around us.
Absolutely. The book also highlights how crucial critical thinking is. Questioning assumptions, challenging the things we're told to believe. Lucretius was willing to question everything, even when it was dangerous. That's inspiring. It encourages us to be curious, to be skeptical, and to always be hungry for knowledge.
Yeah, it's like a call to action. Be an active participant in figuring out what it means to be human. Engage with ideas that challenge you, and speak up. Share your own voice in shaping a better, more enlightened world.
And at the end of the day, the swerve reminds us that even when things are uncertain or tough, there's beauty and meaning in learning, in appreciating the natural world, and in building those genuine connections with others.
It's a message of hope and resilience, a reminder that even in the darkest times, the human spirit can find comfort, inspiration, and a way forward through the power of ideas. We hope you enjoyed our deep dive into the swerve. If you're curious to learn more, we highly recommend checking out the book and going on your own exploration of this amazing story.
And let us know what you think. What parts of the book really stood out to you? What swerves have you experienced in your own life? Share your thoughts in the comments below.
And don't forget to like and subscribe to our channel for more deep dives into the world of books and ideas. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep embracing the swerve.